Hey, welcome to week 5 of Kingdom Come, and I'm going to follow Jake's lead. I want to be the 6th person to welcome you today. I'm so glad that you're here. I've talked to a few of you that are here that are guests. We love having guests join us here at Venture. You should know that we are in week 5 of a 6-week series. It's a spiritual growth journey. Speaking of, would everybody grab your Kingdom Come journey guide? Grab that, pull it out, turn to page 95. I'm going to take notes with you there today. By the way, these are designed to be something that has a bit of a shelf life beyond this series. You can take this with you, of course, to your small group and be having the conversation there. But then also write some notes down in here because you can grab this, pull it off your shelf, maybe even a year from now, and grab something there. When we seek the kingdom, we start to see the world through God's eyes. That's what we're aiming at today. When we seek, that's our word, seek, the kingdom of God, we start seeing things, maybe the way God sees things. That's our heart, that's our hope, that's our prayer today. Hey, I'm going to invite you to turn over one page back, go back to page 93. While you do that, a little pro tip here. Some of you are small group leaders. Maybe you can resonate with me. I met with my group this past week on Monday night, handed out the fight experiment. When I did that, I noticed that there was a rubber band left over. And so I took that rubber band and wrapped it around this part of my book and discovered it's perfect for filing away that card. That way, stuff won't fall out of there now. You come to church, you think you're not going to get anything free. Free tip. There you go. You're welcome. All right, page 93. There's a passage of scripture here from Matthew chapter 13. If you would grab a pencil, maybe a pen in the seat back in front of you, I'm going to invite you to do this right now. Underline on that first line there the phrase, kingdom of heaven. Maybe you're a doodler and underlining is not enough for you. You're an overachiever. I see some of you doodling. That's fine. Full permission granted. Doodle away. If you want to draw a box around it or put arrows toward it, squiggly lines, however you doodle, do that. Call out the kingdom of heaven. Let me, while you're doing that, catch you up real quick. Week 1, our word was love. And we talked about the truth that there are two kingdoms here in this world. Right, there's the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, synonymous, same title, same thing. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. I drew a line that first week down the middle of the platform. We said over here, there's another kingdom, the kingdoms of this world. And our goal is to more and more grab heaven and bring it to earth. That was week 1, love. Week 2, we talked about we have to receive God's love. We referred to God as Dad, Abba Father, Daddy in heaven. Week 3 was the obey week. And perhaps you remember we had some coffins up here at the front and we smashed some idols and we did that with some heart behind it. These things we don't want in our lives, we're going to obey God. And that week we leaned into his title, King, King Jesus. Last week it was fight. And we fight, we roll up our sleeves and we fight for the kingdom of God. And how do we fight? By submitting, by obeying. This week our word is seek. We're looking. We're seeking to see more and more of God's kingdom in our lives. So, the next line, you've underlined kingdom of heaven. Go ahead and circle on the next line the word treasure. Treasure. While you're doing that, go ahead and skip on down. I think it's 6 lines down. The end of that line, there's the word joy. The kingdom of heaven, treasure, and joy. What kind of emotion does that stir up inside of you? Treasure. Jesus says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure. So think about the things that stir your heart. What gives you joy? This kingdom of heaven, these are linked. Okay, now that we've got that, we've got those words called out, let's read. One of the shortest parables in all of Scripture is right here, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It's not the shortest parable. Jesus was a master teacher. He was able to speak with like succinct words, kind of clarifying it. Here's one verse, though, that's a whole story, a parable. Here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure. I'm tempted to say Jesus is grabbing a common day item and he's drawing a parallel here. I'm tempted to say this is a metaphor, but if you're an English major, you probably would call me out on that. Hey, he's using like or as, so this has to be a simile, right? So it's a simile. You rule followers. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. The kingdom of heaven, it's valuable. It's worth even risking a little bit, leveraging everything you have in exchange to grab more of God's kingdom into your life. Jesus doesn't stop there. The very next verse is, if you want to open your Bibles with me, I'm in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. He just launches into another story, another parable, another simile. And it's kind of second verse, same as the first. He's kind of slightly shifting the story a bit, but it's got some of the same principles. This is the pearl of great price, where he says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. This guy's a pro. He knows what treasure looks like. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything that he had. And he leveraged everything. And he bought this thing. Why? Because it's a treasure. The kingdom of heaven, we want to seek it because we want more and more of it in our lives. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, talks about a similar thing. We seek God. It says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's what we're aiming at today. We want to see God's kingdom as we look around. Before we go any further, might it be wise for us to simply invite him to lead this process? So would you bow your heads, close your eyes right where you're at? Let's go to our God in prayer. God, we gather together today, not just to go through a whole bunch of religious motions, but God, we gather together today seeking you. We want to see more of you in our lives, and so we invite you to lead this time, lead these moments. Where you lead, we choose to follow. We seek you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. While we're looking at passages of Scripture, I'd invite you to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. There's this whole passage, and let me put it in its context. It lands the plane talking about the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to get there, but there's kind of a runway that gets us there. Jesus is in the middle of preaching the master class of sermons. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're right in the middle of it here. He's got a group of people have assembled, and these are probably peasant farming type of people on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. He's speaking directly to them, and he's aiming where their hearts are, what they really need. He says this, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Great questions. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, we talked about him week 2, Daddy in heaven, he feeds them. Are you not of more valuable? Are you not more valuable than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, who would have been very familiar to his original crowd, this is an Old Testament king, think splendor, think wealth, think wisdom, think Queen of Sheba would travel a long distance to come and visit him. Solomon, rich guy. Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He talks an awful lot there about anxiety. Now, just to be clear, when he says, don't be anxious, I don't think this is the same thing as being anxiety-ridden to the point where we need to go on meds. That's not what he's talking about here. He's rather saying to be anxious is simply to fixate on something. To be anxious is to put something in your mind. It's a state of mind where a specific thing becomes our default train of thought. And you just start thinking about it over and over again, and this is to be anxious about that thing. Sometimes, you know, this isn't necessarily even a bad thing, but it's something that just consumes our thoughts, something we fixate on. I would tell you, My wife, rather, would tell you, Dawn would say that my hobby is learning a new hobby. She's right. I love to learn new things and explore this thing, and let's see what this is all about. And sometimes when that happens, I tend to fixate on that thing. I want to know more of what makes it tick, or how can I do more of this? And I find myself, even in spare moments when maybe I should be doing other chores around the house, kind of thinking, hey, if I were to go out in my garage, I've got some tools out there. I've got this new thing I want to build, explore this woodworking hobby that feeds my soul. And let me go out, and there's maybe a joint that I'm trying to figure out. And I find myself just kind of fixating on that, anxious. And I just want to get out there, and I want to play around. Maybe some of you can relate to this, and you have other things that you become anxious about. Jesus talks about clothes in this passage of Scripture. Maybe you're a bit of a clothes horse, and you're thinking, oh, well, there's going to be a party coming up here, a Thanksgiving party, and did I wear this same outfit last year when I showed up to the same party? What are people going to think if I'm wearing the same thing? If that's you, you think that way. You're different than I am, but that's a legitimate thing for you to maybe fixate on and be anxious about. People do this, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a woodworking hobby. And there's nothing wrong with having nice clothes. There's nothing wrong, Jesus is talking to people about money here as well. There's nothing wrong with having money. If you're taking notes, write this down. The question that he's calling out is, what are we seeking? What are you really looking for? What are you anxious about? What are you longing for more of in your life? The passage just continues here. We're in Matthew chapter 6, now verse 32. There's no break between the thought we just looked at and the thought that he's getting ready to drop on them right now. He says this, for the Gentiles, which basically is just a word to say he's gathered together a group of Jewish people. He says, this is the others. Okay, there's you, and then there's the others. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, when he said Gentiles, I believe in the first century, this original audience, north side of the Sea of Galilee, they would have set up, they would have listened in. Oh, wow, what's he? He's making a comparison between us. We're like Orthodox Jewish people and the Gentiles. It's us versus them. Now, that idea of us versus them, this is not just a first century thing. This is a sociological truth. We tend to think in terms of us versus them. We do the same thing today. So when Jesus, if he were to come and teach this same message to us today, he might insert a different word here for Gentiles. He would lean into this us versus them idea. Exact same message, but since we're pretty much all Gentiles, we're mutts here in America, it's a great blending pot, right? He probably would lean in and he'd say something like, for the unbelievers seek after such things. You guys, you're all believers by and large. The unbelievers, this is what they do, us versus them. Or maybe he'd say, the agnostics, the atheists, they seek after these things, us, them. Or depending on your political persuasion, he'd maybe grab us versus them in a different way. He'd say, hey, listen, those godless capitalists, they seek after these things. Or the naive socialists, they seek after these things. Again, us versus them. What he's saying is this. Over against the Gentiles, the others who crave food and drink and garments. Listen, if your default mode is to be about those things or anything related, okay, money, which we need for all of these things, or addictions that come, maybe not just from craving food or sex or power or things like this, or anything external, which wouldn't be a garment, but maybe a house or a storefront, maybe a new boat, whatever. If these are things that are your default drivers or your default pattern, then you, get this, you're what's called normal. You're normal. This is what people do. You're normal. But if you're taking notes, write this down. Normal people seek those things. But being in the kingdom, if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, this is about being abnormal. God wants a few weird men and women. Abnormal. That's what we're aiming at here. He continues here because he's getting ready to drop the kingdom thought on them here. Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34, he says this, but, again, when you see the word but in Scripture, lean in because he's doing some comparing and contrasting. He's getting ready to drop a truth bomb here. We've talked about anxiety and what you chase after and what you find your mind kind of spinning on, but you, kingdom people, seek first the kingdom of God and seek his righteousness. And oh, by the way, all these things that you're anxious about, all these things that you're worried about, these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here's the deal. Seeing the kingdom is about training your eyes to be able to see the kingdom. We saw Courtney's story just a few minutes ago. Courtney's story was a kingdom story. Now, you might be tempted to think that this is just a story about six women who are saving money by living together. Or, if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God and you've put on kingdom goggles, you see the world the way that God sees the world, you might see that God takes great family structures. He takes and he makes great family structures outside of a DNA linkage. You don't just have to be born into the family to create a family dynamic. Courtney is about that. She's bringing more of heaven to earth, and she's creating that. And this is a kingdom story. You always find what you're looking for. And I'm not just referencing an old U2 song here, right? Here's the deal. If you're looking for a fight, you're going to find a fight. If you're looking to see God's hand, you're going to see God's hand. If you're looking for blessings, you'll find blessings. If you're looking for a reason, Black Friday is coming up here in about a month or so. If you're looking for a reason to buy something, you will find a reason to buy something, because consumerism, it's born deep inside of us, right? If you're taking notes, write this down. If you want to find the kingdom, you can find it. You have to seek it. God doesn't make it so hidden away. If you want to find the kingdom, you will find it. Remember the passage I shared with you earlier, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Let's talk about this seeking thing. Let's talk about vision. Let's talk about the way we view the world. I've got a few things here to kind of check off our list. Does anybody recognize what these are all about? These are kind of antiquated. By the way, can I just say everybody from about here over is red right now, and everybody from over here is about blue. And these, of course, are 3D glasses. And several years ago, I took my kids to see a 3D movie. It was about this time of year, and I can't do that anymore. It's giving me a headache. I have eye issues. When I was young, I was like, second grade, I got really thick glasses, and then just a couple years later, maybe fifth grade, I got contact lenses. This time of year, invariably, the wind will blow wrong, and I'll end up with a scratch on one of my eyes, and my eyes will be bothering me, and I'm having a hard time seeing. I don't remember, maybe that year I had scratched my eye, or maybe I had lost my contact lens, but I showed up to one of those movies, and I put on the 3D glasses, and I realized, with just one eye, it doesn't work. The 3D thing doesn't work, because you need both eyes for that to work well. This is not so much the lens that we need. How about these? Does anybody recognize what these are? I'm 44. If you're my age, maybe a little bit older, you probably recognize what they are. You don't so much wear these things like this, but I see people wear them like this. I refuse to do that. Matter of fact, if you came into my office looking for these, you probably won't, because I hide them away. I'm in a little bit of denial here. But about 2 years ago, I like to shoot a bow and arrow. And about 2 years ago, I'm shooting my bow. And the deal with a bow, the way it works, there's a peep sight up here. And there's like a pin you're looking at that's about this far away. And then you're trying to focus your eyes way out there all at the same time. And I'm doing this and realizing, I can't do this like I used to do it. Something's not quite right. And Dawn said, well, maybe you should consider the fact that you're starting to get a little bit older. But I'm still in denial, so these are hidden away in my office. But every once in a while, it comes along with the territory. When I'm doing sermon prep, I'm doing a lot of reading, and I do a fair amount of that. I dig these out, and it makes it just a little bit easier. This is not what we're talking about. Remember, kingdom people are abnormal. They're a little bit weird. I've got one more to show you. It's not this. X-ray vision. Some of you are old enough to recognize that from the back of the comic book. That's just a ripoff, right? The skills you need to see a profitable future, and if you sent them the quarter or dollar or $5, whatever it was, they send you junk in the mail that doesn't really work. You can't see X-ray vision. That doesn't work. What we need are kingdom goggles. Something like that. Yesterday, I'm doing some work gearing up for this. Yesterday was my lovely wife Dawn's birthday. And she's in the kitchen, and she's kind of hanging out there, and I'm walking around wearing these, and she says, "Are you really going to do that on the platform? Are you going to walk up there looking like a goober?" And I said, "Well, Kingdom people are weird, yeah. Secondly, this is the man you married, so congratulations on that. Happy birthday, and you're welcome for that." Kingdom goggles, right? These are ski goggles, repurposed. They're tinted so that when you go out, I love to ski, when you're out on the ski slopes and it's a bright sunny day, this tint allows you to see the shadows and the snow a little bit better. What I'm advocating for today is that you put on, weird, but you put on kingdom goggles this week to view the world differently, to view your calendar, your appointments, to view your interactions with people, to walk around and to see that you are a kingdom citizen and you see the world a little bit differently. When you seek God's kingdom with all your heart, you find him. This is what we're aiming at. So, for the rest of the time that we have here today, I want to tell you some stories. But before I do that, I want to share with you what that's all about, why you see the world differently. It's called your reticular activator. You can drop this at the next party you're at, and you can impress people with how smart you are. I'm not that smart. I had to look it up. I've got this up here if you Google it. Reticular activator, basically what this is, it's when you buy a new-to-you vehicle. Like several years ago, we bought a Honda Odyssey. I'd never been in a Honda Odyssey before this, but as soon as we bought it, every minivan on the road became a Honda Odyssey. I saw them everywhere when we were driving around. This is your reticular activator system. It's in your brainstem. Basically, it's what allows you to filter out all the stuff that you're looking at. There's all kinds of input constantly coming in, but you see, here's the principle, you see what you're looking for. Same thing happens when we take a road trip, and I'm driving down the road doing 74, 5, whatever it is, miles an hour. I might have just busted myself there. Whatever the speed limit is what I'm driving. And I'm looking over at the edge, maybe 300 yards away, there's some shadows at the edge of the field, and I'll say to Dawn, "Did you see that deer standing over there in the, what? No, I didn't see that." You see what you're looking for. I'm gonna challenge you this week to look for the kingdom. Unless we're trained and we're practiced, we don't see it. Being in the kingdom is training the eyes to enable you to see what others can't see. And I want to illustrate to you, this past week, I've been prepping for this message, and so I've been thinking about the kingdom of God. So I've had my kingdom goggles on. I've been looking for the kingdom of God. And can I just tell you, I have way more stories than I have time to share with you. I saw God at work and the kingdom of God all around me this last week when I was looking for it. My reticular activator system fired up, and I saw God's kingdom at work all over the place. Let me give you just a few examples. This past week, we did this thing with our staff where, we've been doing it for several weeks now. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And so what we've been doing, rather than meeting in the office space once a week, we do like a staff meeting. And rather than do that, we take off. We do like a stand-up meeting out in the parking lot. What do we really need to talk about this week? And then we go. Our property here, Venture, is kind of at the intersection of four towns in Hamilton County. We're technically in Carmel, but we're right across the street from Noblesville, and right down the street one way is Westfield, right down the street the other direction is Fishers. And so what we've been doing is we send out an invitation. We say to city leaders like mayor, council members, school officials and leaders, we send an email out to them and say, "Hey, what specifically can we be praying for you about?" And then we head off and we do it. And we take some time right before lunch to walk around the downtown areas of those communities and pray through a kingdom lens, "God, let us see the world the way you see it." And specifically, here are some requests that have come in, and so we specifically pray for those people and what they've asked us to be praying for. But as I'm walking around this past Thursday, I couldn't help but see the kingdom around me. Because why? Because I'm looking for it. I'll give you some examples. I'm standing in front of City Hall. Right before I got to that point, I stood at the intersection, you'll notice, of Penn and Walnut. Walnut, well, probably like 200 years ago when Westfield was being founded by a guy and his wife named Asa Bales. I'm going to talk about him in just a second. There's probably a walnut tree somewhere in that area, so it makes sense. Why did they name the street Walnut? Penn Street, I would wager almost anything that actually comes from a guy named William Penn, This is interesting. Yesterday, I'm looking for a box to put these glasses in to bring here, and I found this old cigar box. It's a William Penn box. Isn't that interesting? By the way, this happened to be Dawn's grandma's cigar box, which I giggle every time I think about her grandma smoking a cigar. She didn't. She probably kept sewing supplies in it. But I thought that was a cool box, and so I liberated it, and I brought it. I've been storing things in it in my house. William Penn was a Quaker man, deep religious convictions. Before he came to America to found old places like Pennsylvania, founding father of Philadelphia, he was imprisoned in the Tower of London at least twice, maybe more, because of his religious convictions. And when he came over here, he wanted to launch kingdom kind of stuff in the New World. So 200 years later from that, you've got a guy named Asa Bales, who happens to be a Quaker. And as I'm walking around, I'm seeing plaques and signs for this. If you were to walk through Asa Bales Park and you were to look at the cemetery, you would see this plaque that describes that there are some slaves that were rescued from slavery. A stop on the Underground Railroad is right there. And some of these folks were even buried in that same cemetery that Asa Bales and his wife were buried in. After they died, they had a heart for the kingdom. They didn't have any kids, and so their money from their estate went to launch an orphanage that served kids who desperately needed that. They were kingdom kind of people. What is the kingdom lens here? Well, several things. My goodness, 200 years from now, I hope, if Jesus hasn't come back at that point and people are walking around the neighborhoods I live in, I hope that my fingerprints are left behind. There's some fingerprints, some kingdom fingerprints left behind, like I see there. Several years ago, as I was thinking about William Penn, I took one of my boys to Philadelphia, and I got to sit in and worship in the space where William Penn actually worshiped, the oldest Quaker meeting house in our country. And the way they do worship is so interesting. People gather together, and they sit for like an hour in silence, and they just listen. What does God have to say? Where do we see God's kingdom at work in our lives today? That blew me away. I was thinking about that a lot this past week. Kingdom lenses. When you look for God's kingdom, if you put on kingdom goggles, you see kingdom. Here's something else that I saw. I was walking around at the lobby this past week, and maybe you've noticed the stickers that are up on the windows that greet you when you come in. By the way, those are meant to correspond to the stickers that are on the inside of your journal. Don't miss the journey guide, the stickers there. Why? Because stickers are fun. And on the way in, those are meant to greet you, and kind of those are the words that we're looking at each week. And why is that a kingdom thing? Well, my goodness, they didn't get there by accident. I walked around the first week when some of our staff were lovingly and sacrificially taking time and putting those things up on the windows to prepare well for you. One of them in particular, I want to brag on Heidi Satari, who happens to be one of our staff that works with our kids. She's awesome. If you don't know Heidi, she's incredible. She's made a lot of that stuff happen. Each week, she's put those stickers up on the window. She's done more than that, actually. 2 weeks ago, when we had that powerful moment when you came up and you smashed idols in the coffins, that almost didn't happen. Friday, we discovered, oh my goodness, we had a shipping error, we had this thing happen, and we didn't have the coffins that we thought we were going to have. So Heidi gets into her van, and she drives all the way down to downtown Indianapolis. She borrows one that I was able to interact with up here on the platform, and I run home, and I tell my kids, hey guys, welcome home from school. We're going to build a couple of coffins. That's kind of fun. Snapped a photo of two of them, and we got to freak out Grandma and Grandpa with that picture. That was cool. But then the next morning, Heidi takes those, and she paints them up and makes them look nice. That moment, you got to have sacrificial service, right? What's the kingdom in there? Oh, the kingdom of God is built on the shoulders of Christians who are willing to roll up their sleeves and selflessly serve. Their hearts grow, actually, while they're serving. This is a spiritual discipline to serve. But it advances God's kingdom in powerful ways. Kingdom lenses. When we put on kingdom goggles, we see things like this. Let me show you another photo. This is a picture of a picnic table that's right outside of our office space, and it's a football field. What does this have to do with kingdom stuff? Well, earlier this week, one of our elders texted me, like Tuesday. He said, listen, we've got an elders meeting on Wednesday night. Are you cool with, could we grab some time maybe? I'll tell you what, I'll pick up Thai food, and we'll sit down, and I've got something kingdom-wise I want to talk with you about. And so we met before the elders meeting. We shared a meal together, communion. We broke bread together. I happened to have pad Thai. Tim Tim Streit had, I don't know what it was, but it looked spicier than what I was eating. He's a little bit more of a man than I am. And we sat there and we ate this together and we dreamed up some kingdom kind of stuff. Because you see, Tim played collegiate football and now he's doing reffing on the weekends for college football games. And he's thinking, hey, is there an opportunity here for kingdom expansion? God's been kind of nudging my heart. Is there an opportunity? Can we talk about this? Can we brainstorm? Can we pray together? What would be an idea, a way to take this and leverage kingdom expansion through what God has put me in, this opportunity that I have? Can I leverage the kingdom and its expansion? Where's the kingdom in that? Oh my goodness. Every time God's kingdom expands, it begins with a nudge when God says, hey, I want you to think about going here or going there or going to this group of people and reaching them with the news of who I am and what I'm all about. Kingdom is all over that. I could keep going on and on. I took notes, and when I really stopped and thought about it, when I looked to see what kind of kingdom things are happening inside my world, it's everywhere. I don't have time to share with you everything that I saw. Friday morning, though, skip ahead to the texting string that happened. Friday morning, my wife Dawn and I got a message on Facebook from one of you, Heather, and it was a call to action to pray. Maybe you saw this on the news. Her son, his good friend, was in a little boy down in Bloomington, and he was in water, and there was some electricity involved. His heart stopped. They had to lifeline him up here. Scary, scary stuff. By the way, I know the mom. I know Henry's mom. She goes to another great church in the area. She was actually here, though. Some of you were here for when we had an African kids choir here a couple months ago. She was here for that, and I had seen her out in the lobby, and we talked and kind of caught up then. And so this is a call to action. Heather says, hey, listen, this thing is happening. Would you pray? Where's the kingdom in this? Well, we grieve with those who are grieving, right? We rejoice with those that are rejoicing. When one of God's people says, pray, we stop what we're doing and we pray. This is what the kingdom does. And oh, by the way, that happened in a powerful way. Literally, like I heard like 600 people were involved with praying for this little boy, including by a weird circumstance, there was somebody on the other side of the world who happened to know him. So there's this school of South Korean kids who stop and pray for Henry. He's fine. He's doing well. He's recovering nicely. Where's the kingdom in this? Oh, the kingdom is all over that story. When you put on kingdom goggles, you tend to see it. If you're taking notes, write this down. Kingdom people should leave kingdom fingerprints behind. Or footprints, too, if you're walking around. Kingdom people should leave kingdom fingerprints behind. We should infect the kingdoms of this world with the presence of Jesus. I knew I was going to be preaching this series, so early in the summer, I was with kingdom goggles on. And kingdom, like listening aids, I'm listening to, I think it was National Public Radio. I'm driving down, NPR, driving down the road, listening to a report. And a guy who I don't believe he's a preacher, his name is Dr. Cornell West. I think he's a bit of a philosopher. But his mama was a Jesus person, and she talked to him a lot about Jesus when he was a little boy. And he was quoting her in this kind of news interview. This is so cool. He said this, if the kingdom of God is within you, then everywhere you go, you ought to leave a little heaven behind. And heaven takes the form of laying bare the humanity of each and every one of us, especially the least of these. When a little boy is hurt, kingdom people drop what they're doing to pray, to engage, to be a part of this. This is what the kingdom is all about. And then I got to thinking, my goodness, it's not just that I'm looking around, looking to see the kingdom as it happens, but then I started scrolling through my phone, and you know how this works. Maybe you do this as well. I tend to snap a lot of pictures of things that are happening in the world around me, and every once in a while, it's kind of fun just to scroll through those pictures and see how was God at work? What was the kingdom going on there? I snapped a photo a couple of weeks ago. This is a picture of our firstborn and his mom. And I get, she probably doesn't even know I took this picture. But I get a little choked up even as I look at that. Yesterday was her birthday, and I was looking at that picture, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, am I a blessed man? Where's the kingdom in that? Train a child up in the way they should go. And when they get old, maybe they won't depart from it. Moms and dads, you have a little seminary in your home. As you lean into your kids, grandmas and grandpas, the next generation of kingdom workers, literally, that could change the world. You might be raising them in your home. Where's the kingdom? Look around. Look around. So here's what I want to do. I want to land the plane today, just spending some time sitting and putting on our kingdom goggles and looking around to see, God, where are you at work in my life? You heard Jake say this earlier, so I'll throw the challenge out to you as well. As you're thinking about kingdom stories, things that you're seeing, God's doing something in your heart, in your life, would you let us know that? The rest of the church should hear those stories as well. You can email those to mystory@venture-cc.org. We would love to do that. We'd love to hear those stories. And we're not going to rush through the end of the service here. We're going to end with a worship song. We're going to respond with worship. But my challenge to you is simply to seek. To put on your kingdom lenses this week. To seek. Remember, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13:45, is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. It's valuable. The kingdom of heaven is of so value. It's like the pearl of great price. You should be seeking it. You should be going after it. And so I'm going to invite you right now. Maybe you want to pull out your phone and look backwards at your calendar from this past week. Maybe you want to look forward at your calendar that God's calling you into this next week. Seek the kingdom. Maybe you want to scroll through your pictures and look. Where has God been? Where are the fingerprints of God in your life? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Philippians 4:8 says this. Listen to these words. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Settle in. Let's seek our God. God, we love you. We thank you that your kingdom is big and that we get to be a part of it. And Lord, right now, I just pray as we lean in, as we seek your face, we seek your fingerprints in our lives. Lord, reveal yourself more and more to us, because we want to be kingdom people. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, these things we stress about, they get added to us as well. So lead us right now. It's in your name we pray. Amen.